Sure. It's very good to be back in the saddle. I was thinking just earlier this evening, it's been many months since we were learning Kisvei Rambam together. We've been working in Chazon Ish. We worked on different issues in Tamei Mitzvos. Now we're back to the Rambam, to one of the most famous works of the Rambam, and one that we've never learned together in this forum. Is Hakadam is one of the three Agadic Hashkafic introductions to the Perush HaMishnah. We spent time once upon a time a while back on the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah as a whole, which is really introduction to Torah, to Halacha, to Torah Shel Peh, to Nevuah, to Agadata. And we spent time at a different point on the Rambam's introduction to Perek Chelek, where he talks about questions of purpose and telos and with the ultimate goal of life, the ultimate destination, and he also enumerates all of the 13 Ikari Amunah. And now we come to the Shmona Prakim, the Rambam's introduction to Maseches Avos. As he tells us, this has been in the works for some time. It's remarkable as the way he opens. We already spoke about the following in the introduction to Mishnah as a whole. We already noticed that Avos is unique. Rama at one point in the Hakadama gets technical, takes us through the introduction to Mishnah, goes through the entire structure of the six Siddurim and the Masechtos in each Seder, and why the Masechtos are in particular order, and works on why it is that Avos is a Nezikin. Avos doesn't really seem to fit much of anywhere. Nezikin has a certain element of miscellany to it, probably more than any of the other five Siddurim. Nezikin does have more of the Avodah Zarah doesn't fit 100%, and Adios doesn't fit 100%, and Avos certainly. Avos doesn't really seem to have to do with financial law, with commercial halacha, with Nezikin per se. He says, I explained there that it's of particular significance to the Shofet. It's important for everyone, but it sort of follows on the heels of Sanhedrin because it's of particular significance. But that's not really a core idea. The core of Avos is really unique and doesn't really fit into any of the six Siddurim. We spoke not only about the fact that it's unique and that it sort of doesn't fit any larger category neatly, it's really a world unto itself. Maseches Avos. We also spoke about how incredibly important it is, how incredibly valuable Maseches Avos is, how much of an impact it can have. And you know that it's so impactful, and you know that it's so central, because I've already told you a number of times in earlier Masechtas, we're here already much of the way through the fourth of six Siddurim. We're already past the 50% mark. Throughout over the course of Zram, Moed, Nashim, and much of Nezikin, I've had several occasions, says the Rambam, to mention, I've already told you a number of times that there are a lot of very impactful ideas that we're going to have the chance to discuss when we get to Maseches Avos. The Shenarichba Kitzas Arichos. And that quantitatively, I plan to be a little more lengthy in the way I treat Mishnayos Avos. If you open up a Mishnah with Perush HaRambam, the Rambam tends to have very, very, very short comments. There'll be very small paragraphs per Mishnah. Every once in a while, it'll be a little bit longer. Tends to be very terse. I've already told you several times, he reminds us, I told you several times, we're going to get to Avos. Avos is going to be different. Avos we're going to have to treat differently. Avos, I'm going to be, from Mishnah to Mishnah, the Perush on any given mission is going to be longer than on your average mission at different Masechta. Why? Because, here we go. How do we look at Mishnah Yisavas? This is really a perfect way to open introduction to Mishnah Yisavas. Before we get to the content, specific content they want to talk about, let's appreciate the Masechta. Let's recognize that this is a Masechta that's sort of unique in terms of it's really a category unto itself. Then we need to explain some sort of tangential reason why Avos fits in Ezekiel more than any other Seder, but really it's an island, it's a world unto itself, and it's an incredibly impactful one. It's one that we've seen this coming, that we're going to need to roll up our sleeves more to explain it. And why? Because even though it may seem very simple, it seems like it's already clear. It doesn't need explanation. You read it. You see. Exactly. Easy to understand. Hamasa b'masha kalba eino kal al kol b'nei adam. Interesting. The first thing he says is, well, maybe you understand what he's saying, but there's a gap between the saying and the doing. It's certainly not easy, number one. Even if it's easy to understand, it's certainly not easy to execute. It's certainly not easy to implement. Number two, gam lo kol inyanehem uvanim bli perush maspik. Well, let's not get carried away here. Yeah, parts of it are straightforward, but there are plenty of parts of Avos that you really need a perush just to figure out. A lot of it is very terse. A lot of it is written almost like in a proverb format. Kala teshchores, or a lot of the terminology is really hard to make out. Number three, im heyosa mevia l'shleimus rabba tahasacha amitis. And the fact that it's hard to implement, sometimes hard to understand, combined with the fact that it's so valuable, that it's so impactful, that it can bring us to enormous amounts of shleimus. It can bring us to true success. Hatzlacha amitis is a beautiful phrase. And that's why I decided, and this wasn't an in-the-moment decision. This is part of the Rambam's larger plan. We've been talking about this for some time. This is a mesechta that's going to require more thorough treatment. So in the three reasons he just listed for why he plans to treat others in a more expansive way, the 2 points in terms of need. It's going to be difficult to perform. At times, it'll be difficult even to understand and recognize the incredible value, the shleimus, the hatzlacha. And just considering this point and savoring this paragraph before we move on, if one has been learning Mishnah with Rambam's Perush straight. Early on, we already heard him talking about, he's very sensitive to questions of longer, shorter. Rama was not one he mentions in several places that he was concerned about writing as tersely as possible. Writing as an economy of language was something that Rama valued greatly. The truth is the Gemara gives us that value. Rav was one who spoke about the Rebbe is chayiv l'shanos l'talmidav b'derech k'tzara, to try to present things as briefly, as densely as possible. But that's certainly an idea, the notion of economy of language, that you already have in Chazal. Rambam speaks about it explicitly several times. At one place, Rambam writes, I think it's in his letter to Pinchas Hadayin, where he discusses sort of a retrospective on writing the Mishnah Torah. He says, I have no interest in being any longer than I need to be. He said, if I could have written all of Mishnah Torah in one perek, and Mishnah Torah is hundreds, probably 1,000 prakim or so. If I could have written all in one parak, I would not have written in two. He was a believer in, he wrote in many, many hundreds of prakim because there was a lot that needed to be said. He wasn't scared to write, he wasn't scared to express himself, but saw no need to do it unnecessarily. And this is something that the rabbi was very, very self-aware, very deliberate about. He writes in the Perush on Brachas, the first Masechta, in the last parak. You have Mishnah after Mishnah where he's characteristically very terse, and there's one Mishnah where he's very expansive. At the end, he says, I apologize. I am aware of the fact that I've been very uncharacteristic in this Mishnah, and I got into a side point, and I was wrote at much greater length than I normally would. He said, and that was all deliberate. It was all b'shita. Because it was an opportunity to teach in topics of emuna, and I never led to opportunity to teach, I never met an opportunity to teach Emunah that I didn't like. I never got an opportunity to teach Emunah pass me by. That's so incredibly important. I will take any opportunity I can to convey and to develop issues of Emunah. It's a sort of a similar type of thinking that we see here in the opening lines of his parish to Avos. Number one, this is an incredibly important masechta, and that's why I'm going to treat it differently. And I'm going to be very deliberate about the fact, and deliberate, I've told you in the past that this is coming, and here's my thinking. This is incredibly important, incredibly necessary, and that's why I'm going to need to speak greater length. And it also speaks, it's sort of this way of thinking, and Brachos is about, I'm interested in teaching Emunah at length, and here it's going to be, presumably, I'm interested in teaching Midos at greater length. I think that speaks to just a sort of the paint a picture of the Rambam. When you think about the Rambam's magnum opus, the Mishneh Torah, one of the, to my mind, there are three major distinguishing characteristics. Rambam writes this Mishneh Torah, which is a compendium of all of a collection, the digest of all the maskanas of the Torah Shebaal Peh. It looks like it's a totally new type of work. The truth is, I believe you really can see it as sort of the last in a long line of a certain genre. That throughout the period of the Gaonim, and many see as climaxing with the Rif, who was one of the earliest of the Rishonim, there was this style, there was this genre of writing halachos, of writing brief synopses of maskanos of the Gemara. There was a halachas gedolos and the halachas ketuos. There were various such svarim throughout the period of the Gaonim, the 700s, 800s, 900s. In many ways, the climax is in the riffs. Hilchos Alfasi appears in the back of the Gemara, usually seen as the most authoritative of that style, and certainly a model of that type of style of abridging the Gemara and sort of whittling it down to the halacha lamasa. The truth is, the Rambam in many ways is following that tradition. Rambam was a great grand Talmud of the Rif. Rambam's father, Rabbi Maimon, was a leading Talmud of the Rimagash, who in turn was the, according to Rambam, the leading Talmud of the Rif. Rambam was very much connected with the Masorah of the Rif. And the truth is, what he does in Mishneh Torah is very much the same sort of thing with three major changes. Number one, it's thoroughly reorganized. The Rif and all those Gaonim were more or less following the Seder HaGemara. Abridging the Gemara, occasionally sort of putting pieces together, but basically maintaining brachas, shabbos, and so on and so forth. Things are more or less sequenced by where they appear in Shas. The Rambam starts from the ground level. Let's figure out what's a logical order, a logical sequence. Put themes, like themes together. Totally, thoroughly reorganizes the contents of Shas. That's number one. Number two, he has a much broader scope in terms of his corpus. Whereas the Rif and the Gaonim were looking primarily at Talmud Bavli, and the Rif writes at the end of Erevin that even when there's Machlokas Bavli, Yerushalmi are going to pass like the Bavli automatically. The Rambam did not take that approach. The Rambam has a much broader scope, and he's explicit about that. In terms of his corpus, he's going to quote Bavli and Yerushalmi and Midrash HaLacha and Tosefta, and the Vilna Gaon points out in several places that the Rambam didn't even prefer the Bavli over the Yerushalmi automatically. Vilna Gaon points out that unlike the Rif, and unlike most Rishonim, the Rambam didn't see the Bavli as necessarily more authoritative than Yerushalmi. Darko, Shal Rambam Lista Ke Yerushalmi Negra Bavli Bekam Lekamos. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. In addition to the thorough reorganization and the much broader scope in terms of a much larger corpus, without the focus on the Bavli, the third major distinguishing characteristic of the Mishneh Torah is a much broader scope in terms of topics. That whereas the Rif and almost all of the Gaonim, with the exception of Rabbeinu Chefetz Ben Yatzliach, I believe that's his name, is quoted by the mentioned by the Chavos HaLevavos, almost all the Gaonim and certainly the Rif, the focus is on that which is halachal ma'isa b'zman hazeh, the kainat taras, the kainat kachem, the kainat zroim. They didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. There's really moed nashim mezikin. The Rambam is a return to looking at everything. He expands the corpus incredibly. And he covers everything. He covers kachem and taras. The Mishneh Torah covers all the 14 all of the 613 mitzvahs. But at the same time, that the Rambam was a man of expanding the scope and learning everything and looking at everything, looking at all of Torah, we're not just going to focus on that which is the at the same time, he's also said, but we're going to focus more on that which is more Lamasa. But that too is with a twist, because his definition of Lamasa is also broader than others' definition of Lamasa, because his definition of Lamasa includes, you see in the Mishnah Torah, and you see it right here, his definition of Lamasa is not only tzitzis and tefillin and repaying loans and not speaking Lashon Hara, it's all of that, as well as Emunah, as well as Midos. You see in the Mishnah Torah, where the first section is Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, which is largely Ikari Emunah, and the second section is Hilchos Deos, which begins with a focus on Tikkun HaMidos, and you see it here, right here, as well, where in the Perush HaMishnayos Brachos, he says, I'm going to talk about everything, but I want to talk most about that which is particularly important, which is Emunah. And here, right here, with the opening lines of Shemona Prakim, he says, I'm going to spend even more time than I'll spend on Sukkah and Shofar and Kiddushin, Bava Kama. I'm going to spend even more time on Avos, because Midos are even, call for even more Arichos. So it's that sense of yes, a focus on Lamasa, but a different way of thinking about what's Lamasa. Sukkah is Lamasa, and halachas of loans and torts are Lamasa, but in a sense, Emunah and Midos are the most Lamasa of all. So that's sort of like that opening paragraph, sort of that, just contextually, recognize what we're about to do. Recognize that in learning Mishnah Yisav, we're learning something of unusual importance. Unusually impactful, and with more complexity and more need for understanding and depth and nuance than might meet the eye. We might be giving of a short shrift, but we A, think, how much does it matter? And when we B, think, it's so easy, how much work does it need? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, you read the Hakdama to Pirkei to Mesillas Yesharim, there may be echoes of this opening paragraph there as well. And then, moving to the second paragraph, he says, let's appreciate a little more of the significance, the value, the impact of this Masechta. And as we read this second paragraph, we'll notice also that he's putting together two ideas in a very important way. Chavar Amru Alei Mashal. The Rambam says, lest you think that I'm the one who came up with this notion, this newfangled notion that Avos is particularly significant, I'm just, it says, Kedarko. This is Rambam L'shitaza. I'm just quoting Chazal. That's Gemara. That's what he does for a living in Mishnah Torah. It's quoting 99% of the time. He's quoting Chazal, contextualizing and adding nuance and shades of meaning, but quoting Chazal. He said, "Look, it's a Gemara in Bava Kama. Hay man debayla meve chasida l'kayim il diavos. If a person wants to really be a chasid, wants to really be ambitious and avos Hashem, you got to be l'kayim mile diavos." The topics of Avos. The Gemara has three such statements. The Gemara says, one says, if you want to be a chassid, you have to mekayim mili de brachos. Another one says, you have to mekayim mili de nezikin. In Bava Kama, Bava Tia, Bava Asra. And you have to be exceptionally careful, exceptionally sensitive to honesty with other people's integrity with money and honesty in business. And then this Mamar Chazal that Rama just quoted, the lekayim mili de Avos. The character development, the topics that we developed over the course of Mishnayos Avos, that you need to fulfill this in order to be a chassid. Now, how important is it to be a chassid? Rambam says, it's incredibly important to be a chassid. That we get from a different Gemara, a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, or I should say, the Rambam's Girsa in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Ein etzleinu, says the Rambam, mala l'mal min achassidus al hanavua. There's no, it's in our understanding of the universe, in our understanding of the ladder of spiritual growth, there's no greater level than chassidus except for nevua. It sounds like chassidus is quite an accomplishment. It's one shore of nevua, and as a matter of fact, not only is it one shore of nevua, but it is in turn the key to nevua itself. He amivie leha. That's what gets you to Nevuah. Kemosha Amru, As the Gemara records, or Pinchas ben Yair, Gemara of Hodazara, Chassidus reveal de Ruach HaKodesh. The Chassidus brings you in turn to Ruach HaKodesh, which Rambam understands here, consistent with what he wrote in Mor Nevuchim, the Ruach HaKodesh is already sort of a weaker level of Nevuah. I think Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim there are a whole host of the levels, I believe he says 9 or 10 levels of Nevuah, of different strengths. And he says it's sort of the continuum. He says the weaker 3 or 4 levels, we wouldn't even call them Nevuah usually, we'll call them Ruach HaKodesh. That's really sort of like a weaker format of Nevuah. So he says, look, so Lashita, so he says, Chassidus brings you Ruach HaKodesh, meaning Chassidus will bring you up to the beginning stages of Nevuah. Now again, the different girsos in that Gemara. That Gemara in Avodah Zarah is the Gemara which Ramchal took as an organizing principle for his whole Mesilas Yesharim. He has Chassidus at an earlier stage. Okay.
And also Lashita, you know,
Ah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. That's interesting. So you're seeing that. That's how you read that first line. So it's an early stage. That's right. And I guess you're right. Lishitaso, it fits Lishitaso with the girsa that he has in the Gemara. The Rambam is looking at the girsa he has in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Chassidus is just about the end of the ladder. This is over the second to last rung. And the Gemara tells you, way to get to Chassidus is Avos. Wow. Wow. This is powerful stuff, says Rambam. This is the key, or one of the keys, to getting all the way up there. Wow, we better not underestimate the enormous power of the Masechta which we're beginning right now. Hinei is ba'er midivrehem. The Rambam says, you know, well, what do I see from this? What becomes clear from these words of Chazal, this Gemara in Bava Kamma, shehamaseh b'musarezos ha-masechta may be on Nevuah. That the acting on the musarim that appear in Avos, that will bring you to Nevuah. Why? Because Masechas Avos includes a very significant chunk of good midos, of the attainments of midos and malos hamidos. We will explain this. What's interesting here, Rav Shalak points out in his notes in the back of this volume, his notes on Neshmona Prakin, that one of the themes that the Rambam just slipped in here is the intertwining of achievement in Midos with achievement in spiritual rationality or rational spirituality. The way Rambam understands spiritually enlightened thinking. The Rambam understands Nevuah to be. The Rambam here is already at the very beginning tying these two ideas together. That the malos malos midosios, the malos of midos, are going to be the madrega to get to Dias Hashem. So he's already laying out a lot in just these opening lines. One more point I would make before we go forward to the final paragraph here. What Ram was saying before is sort of interesting. He was saying that you have to appreciate how important Avos is, and it's so critically important to spend more time in these Mishnahs than your average Mishnah and some other Masechta. And he had said, why? He had said, number one, it's even though it may seem easy to understand, number one, it's not easy to practice. Number two, often it's not easy to understand either. And number three, as he went on to we saw he went on to expand upon, it's so impactful. It's so important. There's so much value. So that's why we need to... Okay. Now just think about that first idea for a moment, though. I need to spend more time on this because although it may seem easy to understand, it's not so easy to... Yeah?
Yeah, because it's... In another Mishnah where the reader, the learner... sees it, reads it, can appreciate at its face value its complexity, its difficulty. And so the explanation doesn't have to necessarily explain to the reader why it needs to be taken, why it needs to be given as much weight. In other words, when something appears to be easy, right? Where you say, okay, I got it, I can move on, but you might need to spill a little bit more ink to explain to somebody, no, you have to slow down. You have to give more reasons to have somebody slow down as they're learning something that at face value they think is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Something that they've accepted as being difficult.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so let's explore this a little bit more. In other words, he's saying that aside from the fact that it's really difficult to interpret these Mishnayos, aside from the fact that that getting this right is even more important, because getting this right is so unusually impactful, almost singularly impactful, aside from all that, it's hard to do. The ideas might be pretty straightforward. I could know I need to be humble. As I said, the first idea is saying, the first reason why I need to be modest is because I may know I need to be humble. That may be pretty straightforward, but doing it, that's not so easy. I may know, I understand the Mishnah is saying I have to control my temper. It may be easy to interpret the Mishnah, but it's not easy to live that Mishnah. Right, no. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're explaining to me this is not easy stuff to do. It may be easy stuff to formulate, easy stuff to read, but devilishly difficult to actually follow through on. But here's a question. Here's the question I have for you. I hear that. But why is that a reason to write more? If you're telling me sometimes it's hard to understand the Mishnah, okay, then I need to write more to explain it. If you're telling me we want to make sure to get this right because it's so impactful, okay, so I'm going to add a few lines to really make sure that you understood what the Mishnah is saying. But this first reason, it's important to speak at greater length because it's hard to do. Well, but if it's easy to understand the Mishnah, well, what's being helped by just saying it? What would you say? Correct. 100%. I agree. You're saying the core point that Rambam is making is that it can be easy to understand but difficult to execute. Correct. But now I'm asking, the Rambam mentioned that point that you just made as his first explanation for here's why I need to write at greater length. You know why I need to write at greater length? Reason number one, because this material is easy to understand and hard to execute. So I'm asking you, I hear that, it's easy to understand, hard to execute, but why is that a rationale to write more? How does writing more help us execute? If I understand it...
You see how it manifests itself in more areas than you necessarily think of.
Okay. By the other hand, I understood it, I got it. It's not that I don't understand.
But to get it, to apply it, to the...
Right, but...
Listen to the rabbi's speech.
Right. Correct. No. I agree that absolutely, as you're saying eloquently, that there is this dynamic exists. This reality exists. A lot of this material is easy to formulate, easy to say, easy to understand, and still very difficult to implement. I'm just trying to understand what I'm trying to say. But the Rambam is not just telling us, by the way, this is difficult material to implement. He's saying, since it's difficult material to implement, therefore, I'm going to write a greater length. I'm saying, how did that, I'm trying to understand, and I'm curious to hear your take, how does the...
Greater length answer.
Yeah, if it's hard to do, it's hard to do. Writing more, three more lines is not making it easier to do, is it? Or is it?
Perhaps it is. I mean, there's obviously a catch-up, but perhaps it's...
So you said maybe if we develop it more, it'd be easier.
Well, if you see it, if someone explains the implication,
uh-huh. You need to make more of a cell. You need to make more of a pitch.
What seems simple isn't so simple. The thought of it being simple is fallacy. It's not simple.
Mm.
You know, you could read something and, you know, be a good person. That is not a simple thing to do.
So you're saying the fact that we're going to write at greater length will right away convey to people, there's a lot going on here, you're going to have to work hard.
Well, if it were that simple, you'd write one line and you'd never see the application. By trying to develop it, and trying to integrate it by lively examples,
right.
Begin to show how it manifests itself throughout 7 years.
Interesting. And hopefully that'll help us to follow through. What else?
Beyond the doing, though, there's a lullaby effect on some of the Mishnayos and others. It's so easy to read that it may be hard to appreciate the depth of what one is reading. Moshe Kibel Tov Masina, Misavavish, very nice, I understand, but there's layers of meaning to that which can easily be lost on the learner that simply understands all the words. Okay. And I've got it at the 1 foot deep level.
Right.
But because it's so easy, I'm not going to stop longer to appreciate that what's there could be a lot deeper
right.
than what's at face value.
And that's why he's going to be Marach.
Yeah.
I think it might be another thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Similar to the Mishnah Sharm, that the whole part is that because it's so simple and simple to ignore, the whole chop of getting it closer to implementation is reinforcement. So I can reinforce it, meaning I'm not giving you not necessarily a deeper vart in the trivialis, but I'm giving you more, I'm being myriform because you need more reinforcement.
It's the process itself.
Yeah, exactly.
So along those lines, I would suggest maybe two more ideas to think about. One is something else that... one is the idea that the Rishon Salanter has, which I've thought about over the years. It occurred to me that the Rama may be alluding to this idea here. Rishon Salanter is reported to have said that if I find that I'm struggling with a particular area of halacha, struggling to keep. I know what I ought to be doing, but the flesh is weak. Different people have different... everyone has their own profile of nisyonos. What areas are easier for me? What areas are more difficult for me? What's easier for me may be harder for you. What's easier for you might be harder for me. So Santa said, look, if you find a particular area of halacha is really challenging, a particular mitzvah, particular aveira, very challenging to follow through on, One of the tools in your arsenal is to learn the halachos of that mitzvah bi'iyun. Really roll up your sleeves, go through the sugyas, learn shachar, wherever my learning is at, to really, throw myself into analyzing that erev halacha thoroughly. Now, which at first glance seems a little counterintuitive. Because we're not talking about that the problem is, I'm messing up because there were halachic nuances I didn't know. I know it's not the problem not that I didn't realize this case was. No, I knew it. Just it was really hard. It's most often quoted in the, though it's not necessarily most. It's no less relevant anywhere else. But this idea gets quoted, I think, most often in the world of Lashon Hara. And I'm having difficulty with tongue control. Shmiras Lashon, tongue control. I'm having difficulty controlling the way I speak. So let me start. I'll make a seder to learn Chafetz Chaim. Now it's not that I'm violating Hilchos Lashon Hara, these sort of these nitty gritty details of Toelas. No. I'm speaking outright. I know what I'm saying is wrong, and yet somehow learning it changes it. So the question, why? So the answer seems to be, I think that maybe where the Rambam is driving that also, that there's something about throwing myself into that mitzvah intellectually, which can help me learning about something thoroughly, can help it get inside more. So it's practically my defense there. I'm trying to grapple with actually implementing. That's tough. Well, let's learn a sugya. Okay, that can draw me in. I can get into the sugya, and as I engage my mind deeply in Limud HaTorah in that area, it's going to impact me as a person. So that may be part of what the Rambam is driving at, is that this is really difficult material to keep. These are among the most difficult halachos in all of Tariq Mitzvahs, Hermitos. So, one thing that can help you, here's one tool in your arsenal. Learn it well. If you learn it be'iyun, it'll make it easier to keep. So that's sort of the magic of profound learning that the Rishon Salanter explicated. That could be the Rambam, I think, is driving at. And one other point is perhaps another idea the Rambam is driving at is because it's so difficult, we might have a tendency to be more hetter. If I really want something badly enough, our human minds are incredibly creative, and we can convince ourselves, some of the topic we came across in the Chaz Nish several times, I'll convince myself this is the right thing to do, and this is fine, this is not an inappropriate use of temper and arrogance and whatnot. So because it's so difficult, there'll be an incredible, unusual strong yetzara to be more hetter and to sort of fudge what the expectations are. And perhaps that's also why he says, because it's so difficult, it's going to be even more important to lay things out and to avoid the haras hatter. But I think the first point is really a core point, that connection between learning thoroughly and doing, and how learning thoroughly can change me as a person and enable me to perform in a way that I could not before. We will, Rich, pick up next time. We have a couple of moments. Actually, maybe let's at least close out the introduction. Let's see, we still have 2-3 minutes. Let's close out the introduction. A very, very famous line. This is the introduction to the introduction, as Seth pointed out. Right? Because it's called the introduction to Avos has its nickname Shmona Prakim, 8 chapters. So here we're reading chapter number 0. This is the opening, the preface before the actual Perek Rishon. He says, he tells us, Re'isul HaKadim, says, up until now, I've been talking about the fact that I'm going to treat Avos more thoroughly, meaning I'm going to, on a Mishnah by Mishnah basis, which is after Shmona Prakim, I get to Mishnah Av, Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Gimel, we have more to say per Mishnah. But say, I decided, in addition to that, to also add this intro. Prakim O'ilam, a series of useful Prakim, 8 to be precise, Yusigulat Mehem HaKdamos, they'll give us logical introductions that lay the ground, intellectual groundwork for learning the Mishnayos. They'll open up, and he says he's going to be referring throughout the Perish, Mishnah by Mishnah Perish, back to these Prakim. And then he closes with a very famous line. He says, I want to tell you in advance, as I begin the Shmona Prakim, that I don't plan, I'll be quoting many people, and almost none of them by name. Has Varmashar Omaro Samba Ila Prakim, as what I'm going to say in the Shmona Prakim, and what we're going to say in the Perish, in the Mishra, Mishnah Perish and Avos, and not in Yam Shechidash Anim Yasri. These are, by and large, not my own Chidushim, not Perishim that I developed my own. Almost all of it is what I've collected from earlier Svarma, where I anthologized, Midibre Chachamim, in the Medrash and the Talmud and other works of Chazal, and number two, from the philosophers. Kedumim v'chadashim, ancient philosophers and more recent philosophers, or we would call medievals, but for him was recent, as well as chiburi harbi v'yadim, the svarim of many others, which are presumed to mean Jewish philosophers, Yehuda Levi and so forth. And he says, "Ushma ha'emes mishamara." You have to take truth from whoever says it. It's not automatically possible just because someone said it. It also means not automatically useful just because there's a fancy name attached to it. And he says he realizes that many people will automatically accept or reject just by hearing the name. And that's why he chose to instead present the ideas. I'm telling you in advance that they're not mine. It's not plagiarism. I'm making this disclaimer at the opening. I'm not pretending that anything I'm saying is mine. Almost all of it will be quotes. But I've collected those things which I think are true and useful. And that with that, he's ready to begin the Shmona Prakim. We will formally bring the Shmona Prakim next week. Yashkach.